Darrell Evans, former the maestro of the Miracle on Manchester, analyst now for the LA Kings, joins us. Darrell, was there any sort of like skills competition the Kings did during the Olympic break? What happened?
You know, Jason, I think the biggest thing was the Kings leading into the Olympics. You know, the Olympic break, if it could have happened 2 or 3 weeks earlier, would have been a godsend for the team. They desperately needed a rest, both mentally and physically. Emotionally, they were drained, and you know, it just snowballed leading into the Olympic break. You know, I think at the during the Olympic break, it gave everybody a chance to kind of recharge the battery, so to speak. You know, and all the top players for the Kings were, you know, at the Olympics, six guys representing the respective countries, a couple of guys walking away with gold medals. So there was a lot of positive things to be taken, you know, from the Olympic Games. Everybody came back healthy. And I think they were just a re-energized group. And, you know, fortunately enough, game one started off, you know, with the victory coming out of the break. It wasn't the prettiest game, but they found a way to manufacture a victory in Colorado. And every game they've gotten better from there, and they're really kicking on all cylinders right now. As like you said, they've run off six straight victories and scoring 18 goals.
And scoring 18 goals, and they're not giving up anything. Really, only that Colorado, Columbus, Calgary, Carolina, Montreal, Winnipeg all scored either one or no goals. Darrell, that Colorado team, they're good. All right, like Nathan MacKinnon just broke Gretzky's record. They're 1 point back of Chicago. I know the Kings beat them 6-4. I think I got an empty net goal as well in that game. Give me your thoughts on this Colorado team. What do you like best about them?
Well, I think when you look at Colorado, one of the things that jumps out is the speed factor that they have and the skill that they have in their top six forwards. Reminded me a little bit of, you know, some of the Oilers teams that have been put together. And you know, even when you look at you know, the recent group of players with the skill level that Edmonton has, you know, at hand, but they've got a blend. They've got some size in their top six, but their competitiveness and the maturity of the young players that they have really stands out. You know, if you want to get into a run and gun type of game with them, you know, you're going to be in a difficult situation. The Kings were very fortunate that night, you know, to come out with a victory. They surrendered three goals on the penalty kill, and you know, Colorado's forwards that game had a lot of time in the offensive zone, and if not for the experience and you know, the poise of the hockey club, you know, they wouldn't have been able to pull it off. But they got some timely goals, and that's exactly what they needed. But Colorado is going to be a team to be reckoned with for the next few years, you know, especially if they can, you know, continue to develop those players up front, and if they can add a defenseman or two and get the goaltending they've been getting, they're going to be a tough team to beat in years ahead.
Dustin Brown really struggling offensively, Darrell. I know he scored now twice in the last four games. Are you starting to see signs that Brown's coming around? What plagued him offensively through the first 60 games of the season?
Well, you know, it's just been a difficult year for him. You know, you can't really pinpoint whether it be one thing or another. There's been a number of guys that have struggled offensively, aside from Kopitar and Carter, the two guys that have been very consistent up front. You know, there's been a number of guys. Mike Richards had a spell where he had only one goal in 34 games. And, you know, Dustin Brown, Justin Williams went 20 games without a goal. So, you know, when you're looking at three of your top six forwards struggling putting the puck in the net, and it's, you know, not necessarily all from, you know, things not going well or them not playing well. You know, just things weren't clicking at that particular time. And, again, with an Olympic year and a compressed schedule, when things are going well, they snowball in a positive fashion. And when things aren't going well, they snowball in a negative way. And, you know, I think that was the case for him. Being selected to the, you know, the U.S. Olympic team, I think, was great for him. He got a chance to kind of clear his head a little bit. And then since the return, the line that he's been playing on has been with Jarrett Stoll and Dwight King, and Dustin's been moved over to the right side, and he seems to be very comfortable over there. You know, he's got the, you know, the reputation of being a power forward straight up and down that wing, and he's really playing with a lot of confidence right now, and he's had 5 points in his last five games, and he's been a big help offensively, you know, for the Kings. And you know, when you get a guy like him, you know, not necessarily just putting the puck in the net, but doing all the little elements of his game, it really helps the team out, and they've got a balanced attack right now. They're getting contributions from a lot of different guys. When you look at the games prior to this streak of six, Kings relied upon heavily upon Andrei Kopitar and Jeff Carter. They were responsible for 45% of the team's goals leading into this. And then since then, they've had 10 different guys score goals. So a little bit more balance. He doesn't have to worry about doing it all himself. And you know, Dustin Brown's got his game exactly where the Kings need it.
Darrell Evans, analyst for the Los Angeles Kings, joins us. Kings in town. Both the Kings and the Oilers have Friday and Saturday off. They'll battle 6 o'clock on Sunday night at Rexall. Strange, you don't see that very often, a few days off. And I know they got in it at a pretty good time into Edmonton last night, Darrell. This will really allow the Kings to be refreshed, I would think, after a combined schedule quickly after the break. They get a few days off, and they'll probably be raring to go on Sunday.
Yeah, they should be. It's not too often that you get a couple of days off in between games, especially on the road, and especially both teams having the same break leading into it. So I think it evens the playing field. The Kings coming out of the Olympic break, they had a very demanding schedule. They had 3 games in 3.5 days, back-to-back Colorado, Calgary, and then an afternoon game back in Los Angeles. So now with the addition of, Marian Gaborik, it's given them an opportunity. They had a full practice today, so they got a chance to, be able to go through some of the things and work some of the systems with him. And they will be both physically and mentally, refreshed and ready to go against, the Edmonton Oilers on Sunday night, knowing that the Edmonton Oilers are a team that is very explosive. They have a lot of firepower as well. And they're going to have to, bring a good game in order to beat them. And it's a big 2 points up for grabs, and it should be quite a challenge.
Darrell, what are the line combinations for the Kings now? I know they were juggling the round trying to find some consistency. They're top 9. Can you tell me, do you think they're set in your eyes right now, barring, any lengthy slumps? That you think they're kind of going with what they have? And where do you see Gaborik fitting?
Yeah, I think right now with the way that, with Gaborik playing now one game, they got him playing on Kopitar's left, and I think that's a position that you're going to see those two, married in, for the remainder of the season. There's no reason that those two players shouldn't play together. You've got your best puck mover in Andrei Kopitar, and you've got some world-class speed in Marian Gaborik, with a guy who's got the ability to be able to finish. So I would expect them to stay together. Justin Williams was on the right wing with them last night. And that's the way we see it. That's where they practice today moving forward. The second line had Mike Richards in the middle with Jeff Carter and Tyler Toffoli on the left side. That line was intact and should stay intact again moving ahead. And then the third line was Jarrett Stoll along with Dwight King and Dustin Brown. And that line's been together since the Olympic break. And then the fourth unit has primarily been made up of Trevor Lewis in the middle with Kyle Clifford and Jordan Nolan, with Tanner Pearson being the odd man out last night. And that's what that's what we'd expect moving ahead. Tanner Pearson, I'm sure, is going to work his way in and out of the lineup. But I think Daryl Sutter, especially coming out of the Olympic break, looking at the way the Kings had struggled offensively, of course he didn't have Marian Gaborik in the mix immediately, coming out of the break, but that's been a great addition. It gives you a little bit more speed up front. There's a guy that, 3 times has scored 40 goals, 4 times has scored 30 goals. There's no doubt that he's going to help them out. And last night, even though he didn't figure on the score sheet, he had an immediate impact on the Kings' power play. They've spent a lot of time in the offensive zone, and I think the Kings now have some balance, and they have some potential to be able to score from their top 9 forwards.
One last one, Darrell. The Kings currently have 7 defensemen. I know Matt Green and Martinez have missed significant portions of the season. When they're all healthy, who's number 7?
Well, I think sometimes, the way the Kings look at it, just like, other organizations, it all depends upon the opponent. Right now, Alec Martinez, he's been the number 6 position, and Matt Green has been the odd man out, and that started, after the first game out of the Olympic break. But, some of it just has to do with, you see one player get on a little bit of a roll, and Alec Martinez has chipped in. He's given the Kings an element of a little bit of puck movement from back in the blue line. He's helped out on the power play. And, from Matt's standpoint, Matt's a big, strong, physical type of guy, and they're going to need his services as well. So it's really not a matter of who's 6 or who's 7. It's just a matter of you know, with the schedule, and the Kings still have four more back-to-back sets of back-to-back games the rest of the way, and they're going to be a play some teams that are going to be a little bit more physical, that Bill Sutter might like to go with Matt Green, and other ones with maybe a little bit more speed that will demand the services of Alec Martinez, or, you know, maybe even one of the other guys coming out. You know, you've got a couple of veteran defensemen and guys like Robin Regier, Willie Mitchell, that, you know, Daryl Sutter might like to, you know, to give a break from time to time and make sure that this team is poised and ready to go once the postseason starts.
And you look at the postseason, Daryl, the Kings are pretty much cemented in that number three spot. They're 9 points up in the fourth place team, and they're nine back of the second place team. Obviously, I know there's 18 games left, but that's a big gap either way for them to either go in a slump or to get really hot than they already are to try to catch the San Jose Sharks. So I'm guessing they just fine-tune some things. One last one for you regarding Ben Scrivens. Of course, he traded for a third-round pick. He comes to Edmonton. He's been lights out here. He was great in L.A. His save percentage is even higher here in Edmonton. From what you saw, and I know it was only 20 games, Daryl, did you get a sense from Scrivens that you felt like this is a guy who could be an everyday starter?
You know, when Ben first came to us from Toronto, you know, he was a very, I want to say like an aggressive goaltender. There was a lot of movement in his game. Both Bill Ranford and Kim Dillabaugh did a great job at kind of reining him in a little bit, and you could see Ben's game go from one place to a higher level, and a credit to him for putting in the work and, you know, and going through all the, you know, the little bit of transition and tweaking his game and, you know, and really being, you know, responsive to, you know, the things that he was learning from these guys. And now as he's moved on to Edmonton and we've got a chance to see him play, I think the confidence that he gained in Los Angeles has done a lot for him. And now, you know, recently with him signing the contract, the extension for a couple of years, that's great as well. Only time will tell, you know, and it's to be said with every goaltender. The guys need the opportunity and they have to play in different situations. Right now, the Edmonton Oilers aren't sitting in a good position, but it's an opportunity for Ben to use the stage and really develop his personal game and gain the trust of his teammates, knowing that he's going to be part of the organization for the next couple of years. But he is definitely pushing in that direction, and he's trying to prove to everybody, not only in the Oilers organization, but around the National Hockey League, that he's a guy that not only wants to, but can play every night, and regardless of who the opponent is. So he put up some great numbers in Los Angeles. He's doing the same things in Edmonton, and it's great to see a guy get an opportunity and then not only get the opportunity, but take advantage of it.
Daryl, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy a rare two-day break on the road with the Kings, and we'll see you at the rink on Sunday.
I look forward to it. Don't be afraid to turn the heat up.
It is cold there in practice, isn't it? It's freezing.
It was chilly.
Appreciate your time,